Safe as Houses, podcast number 26. Stories so far, in a world plagued with vampires who cannot enter a home unless invited, Sally and Lavinia have just made a crucial discovery, and that is that vampires are so eager to be in a home again, they'll give up blood just for that chance. Now, Sally and Lavinia, who is herself a vampire, creep up on the camper in which they live, where the vampires have just been invited in, and Sally has just poked her head inside to see what the vampires are doing. And I ended the last episode with the teasing phrase, what she saw in that instant forever changed her feelings about vampires. So this is Safe as Houses, Volume 2, Chapter 13, What Sally Saw. Sally had just a moment to see what the vampires were doing before they became aware of her head inside their space. They were making love to Sally and Lavinia's home. The ones on the bed, and there were at least six, were stroking the blankets, kissing the pillows, nuzzling the curtains on the wall. The ones standing in the small cooking area were running their hands, two of them still dribbling white ooze from stumps of fingers, over the wood paneling covering the stove and sink. They were opening cupboards, touching with wonder the cleaning supplies and canned goods. One, with a missing earlobe, had the small broom and was sweeping the tiny portion of floor available to him with infinite devotion. For just that instant, Sally saw the humans they had been, saw them as individuals. About half of them had been women, three had been black, two had been Asian. And then they saw her and became a snarling mass of evil. Cold hands pulled Sally off of her feet, razor teeth pierced her neck, hands pulled at her hair and arms. Lavinia bellowed, "Let her go or you're out!" And at the same instant Sally herself shrieked, "Hands off or it's all vampires out!" And instantly silence snapped down, broken only by the faint cawing of a far-off seagull. Sally was free, but her neck throbbed sharply. Keeping her glare fixed on the rows of white faces, Sally couldn't even tell now which ones had been black. Lavinia snapped, "You okay, Tiger?" Sally pressed her hand to her neck. Two puncture wounds sat in the middle of a slippery spot, but blood was not running down her neck. "I think they missed any arteries or veins," she reported. "All right. Now," Lavinia barked at the vampires, "this here is our home, and you're invited to stay. But only as long as you behave yourselves. This means no drinking whatever blood I still got left. No drinking, not even any fucking touching my lady here." 12 pairs of eyes snapped over to Sally, who had just taken a blood-smeared hand away from her neck. She pulled herself together to glare at them, still confused by what she'd seen and the suddenness with which it had changed. "I say everything she said," Sally told them. "You can be in a home again, but I'll kick your fucking asses out so fast your heads will ring if you touch either one of us." A chorus of whining started up. "Not fair! We're hungry! You must let us drink!" A bead of blood trickled down her neck, and every eye followed it. And Sally suddenly understood why Lavinia would not look at her. "Listen, all of you," she snapped. "I'm sure my blood smells as good to my lady as it does to you." She saw Lavinia nod. "But she's not drinking. There's something even better, and we can show it to you. Don't you wonder why she's a vampire with blood? Yeah, right. How come? Yeah, how come you got in and not us? Suddenly they sounded like rebellious children. Shut up, Lavinia snarled. We're coming in. We'll stay in the front part. The back part is yours for tonight. Not one fingernail comes through the curtain or you're all out. She turned to Sally, and Sally could see the effort it took for her to ignore the blood, which was cooling and drying. Say it, Tiger. They got to hear it from you, too. Sally didn't relish spending the night with 12 hungry vampires behind their heads, but the only alternative was to kick them all out, including Lavinia. So she repeated what Lavinia had said and added, You're lucky. I'd really rather sleep in our own bed, but I don't feel like having sex with my wife while you creeps watch. Lavinia put an arm around her. The vampires looked like teenagers imagining their parents having sex. One of them actually muttered, Gross. Sally and Lavinia looked at each other. The crescent moon was nearing the horizon, leaving a glimmering trail of white on the water. Soon it would be much darker. They both shrugged, then climbed into the cab of the camper. Lavinia jerked her thumb towards the rear of the camper, and the two vampires in the front seat climbed over. She fixed the curtains once more and closed them tightly. For a few minutes the two women heard grunts from behind the green wall. Move over, I need room. Get your elbow out of my face. Lavinia and Sally breathed in little gasps to avoid bursting out in torrents of giggles. Gradually the sounds from the back died down into little sighs and coos. Sally understood that if she looked through the curtains, she would see them in their home-loving trance again. Lavinia gathered Sally up into her arms and held her head against her breast. Just 24 hours ago, Sally realized, she'd been alone and lost and longing for those strong arms around her. She nestled against her body and drank in the feeling that she'd thought she'd lost forever. And she looked straight up into Lavinia's eyes. If you're going to hypnotize me, go ahead. But Lavinia just met her gaze, as she always had, with burning fire. She brushed a fingertip against the congealing blood on Sally's neck. Sally raised her eyebrows. Does that tempt you? Lavinia just shook her head with a little smile. Dried, she breathed. As the sound of breathing from the rear of the camper grew more steady and deep, the night closed in around Sally and Lavinia and made a secret, quiet cave for them. We can talk, Lavinia whispered. They won't hear us. We vampires don't have supersonic hearing or anything. She shook her head. We vampires. Jeez. She shook her head again. But no, I'm not feeling tempted. The sunlight. Jesus, fuck, that was some powerful magic. Sunlight. Who knew? Who fucking could have guessed? The moon nestled into the bosom of the ocean on this clearest of nights. Sally saw that glowing white light reflected in her beloved's eyes. She was in the arms of a vampire, and she felt happy. Dozens of things that they needed to talk about tumbled through her mind without leaving an impression or making a sound. What exactly did sunlight do? When would Lavinia need to sleep? And would she still be herself when she woke up? How was she able to be herself anyway? Could all vampires be called back to themselves? What were they going to do in the morning with the sleeping crew back there? Would they wake up children or monsters or adults or something stranger? As the moonlight faded away, a deeper stillness seemed to settle around them. The silence, barely broken by the deep, even breathing from behind them, became so profound that speech seemed impossible. She had been lying in Lavinia's arms forever, and would always be here. The very movement of Lavinia's chest as she breathed in and out, the blinking of her own eyes, the sound of her own breathing, all seemed significant. "How can we make a home together?" she breathed at last. The softly spoken words hardly had meaning. Sally could scarcely remember what she had asked. Never taking her eyes from Sally's, with the barest shaping of her lips, Lavinia answered, "I could make you a vampire." In the dream space which filled the night home, the words hung, seductive, inviting. Sally felt her head tilt back, as if to bare her neck for the ultimate act of surrender. This story is copyright 2014 by Michael Litsky. You can find the print version of this story, information about the music, other things I've written, on my website, www.fictionandmore.com. That's FICTIONANDMORE.com. Please join me next week for the episode entitled Surrender.